Live from Studio 7G, it's What's So Great About... ... The show where they ask the question, what's so great about this certain topic? And sometimes they find the answer. Now here are your hosts, Terry and Andy.
Clint, for that fabulous introduction, and welcome. Welcome, welcome to What's So Great About the 90s, the show that asks 90s questions and gets 90s answers. And today I'm delighted to be joined for the sixth week running my wonderful co-host, Terry Toner. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Andy.
It's great to have you here.
It is a pleasure to be here, as always.
The pleasure is all mine, Terry. Now listen.
No.
I insist.
No, it's my pleasure.
I tell you what. Fucking leave it. Yeah. The pleasure is mine.
Get well, you little asshole.
Terry, listen. All jokes aside, welcome. We are here today to discuss, of course, you've seen the title, you know what you're getting. You knew we were covering it anyway, but you know what? I wasn't going to pick this one because I thought this one was too obvious.
It's a layup, it's a gimme,
yes,
as they say.
Now, last week, or 2 weeks ago, we watched Armageddon, and it was kind of under the guise of... Is it as bad as people say it is now, or is it actually good? I think we got a bit of a mixed opinion.
I mean, it was bottom of my list, but it wasn't terrible. I would never say it was a good movie. You know what I mean?
See, and it's weird. I was only saying to Carrie yesterday, I was like, because the two of us actually liked it, and the amount of movies that we turn off after 5 minutes, and this is one that universally pan. For some reason, we're like, oh, it's actually quite nice.
But like I was saying last time, I think it's people have come around to it just being like, it's fun,
yeah,
you know, it's silly
fine
movie. Yeah,
now,
yeah, but like,
Con Air, though, see,
oh, okay,
this was one that I was thinking, right, is it as good as people say? You know what I mean? Now, I've got some strong new opinions on this movie.
All right, okay.
Now, but before we get into any of that, Derry, I've got a buff that just won't quit.
Let me buff that out for you right there.
Oh, Jesus. Now.
Box office?
Yeah, sorry. Box office and fun facts. What's the budget, Terry?
I'm going to say a cool 70 million.
You are not far away. 75 milli.
All right.
Yeah.
Close without going over. I'll take it.
Opening weekend?
23.
Very, very close. 24.
Oh, you got to give it to me. Like,
no, it's a different number, isn't it? I'm sorry, pal. Now, domestic?
97.
I'm afraid that's wrong. 101.
Oh, I'm within five each time.
Worldwide.
Wow. 223.
I'm afraid not. 224, my friend.
Oh, my God.
I almost couldn't get it out. I was still...
He's not going to say 223, surely.
Oh my God, I was too excited. I couldn't even get out 224. Oh, brilliant. No, well,
look,
dead wrong, unfortunately. 244. 224.
That's as close as I'm going to get for the rest of them. Like,
yeah,
within 5 million of each one. I mean, you got to give it to me.
Okay, we'll just say from now on, if you're within 5 million, that you're correct.
You get it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
From,
so
from now on, though.
Four for four.
So it's wrong there, but yeah.
Four for four.
Yeah,
cool.
If this had been next week, sure.
100% record for this episode.
It was directed by Simon West, written by Scott Rosenberg, and produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. It's
so two in a row that have been Bruckheimers.
Oh yeah, of course. And there was a real slew of action movies around the mid-90s, really. I mean, you had Die Hard was 95, I think.
Yeah, that was 95. Yeah.
Then you have Nicolas Cage alone in...
Let me list it off. It's The Rock, Face Off, this, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Mm-hmm. Not in that order now, I think.
No. Yeah. That's four.
Well, his holy trinity, as fans call it, are The Rock, Face Off, and this.
Con Air, yeah.
And so there was Face Off and Con Air were released the same year.
They were released in the same month, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's so many. Like, Nicolas Cage was busy during 96, 97. Now, a few fun facts, although we start off on not a fun fact at all. One of the employees employed by the special effects team, Philip Schwartz, was crushed to death at Wendover when a static model of the C-123 plane used in the film fell on him.
Oh, Jesus.
The film credits end with "In memory of Phil Schwartz."
I'm sure his family, you know, are comforted by that.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he get?
And all the money they got.
Yeah, please. Hopefully they got compensated. Yeah.
Producer Jerry Bruckheimer found the right spot for the cinematic finale, originally planning a crash at the White House, which, I mean, talk about close to home.
I had a bit of a problem with this.
Yes.
Because it starts in Alabama.
Yes.
And he's hitching a ride home. Cameron Poe, right?
Yes.
But they end up in California and Vegas.
But he's not in an Alabama jail, is he?
I think he is.
I don't think so. Huh. I could be wrong.
I don't
Otherwise,
know.
Otherwise, why would he even get on any sort of plane?
See, that's one of my questions.
Well, a few more little fun facts here, right? So, yeah, they were planning on it being at the White House. But Vegas was more in keeping with the dichotomy of convicts cashing in. We got very lucky, he said. The Sands was going to be demolished anyway. They blew up the tower on their own, so we arranged to blow up the front of the building.
Nice.
So how well did that work out?
That's fucking deadly. I did not realize that. I was like, oh, it's a good stage or whatever. Like,
yeah, I was thinking, how did they manage to... Like, did they build that big giant guitar so they could just fucking smash into
hard
it?
Rock, you know? Like...
Now, a few little fun facts. Dave Chappelle improvised pretty much all of his lines. Now,
I could see that.
Yeah, definitely. A few people auditioned for the part of Cyrus. Your boy, Willem Dafoe, is considered. Oh. Can you imagine? He auditioned, and Mickey Rourke auditioned.
You know who Willem Dafoe should have been in this movie?
Your man... where he's like, it's like, I was on that block.
Yeah, that's who that's who Willem Dafoe should have been. Like, instead of this fucking nobody.
Yeah, he was a nobody. Yeah. During Mickey Rourke's audition, he improvised by producing a razor sharp Bowie knife, both terrifying and impressing the director. Though suitably impressed, they decided to cast John Malkovich instead.
It wouldn't have worked if he was Cyrus the Virus. He wasn't intellectual enough.
Yes,
Dafoe could have been an intellectual guy
Rourke
as well.
Could have been one of the other guys.
Mickey Rourke could have been Danny Trejo's character.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's who would have been a good...
And it's funny, because according to Trejo, there was a lot of tough guy competition in almost everything on set. For example,
Jesus.
When one guy would spit on the floor, the others would immediately imitate it and try to spit even further.
And Trejo is the fucking baddest motherfucker, out of everybody, real life. Like, he's in prison and shit. Like,
was he?
Yeah, yeah. Like, acting... Acting got him out of, like, I think Heat maybe was the first film he was in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's like 95, but like...
He's rough looking, I'll say that. But that's why he plays the part so well, I guess.
He's fucking great, like...
John Malkovich was unhappy during production because the script was being rewritten virtually every day and he had no idea how his character was going to turn out.
Interesting.
A few considerations for the part of Larkin.
Larkin, you little son of a bitch.
When this is over, so are you, you little prick.
I have so much to say. I have so much.
Considered for the part of John Cusack's role of Vince Larkin was Robert Downey Jr., Charlie Sheen.
I could see it.
And Matthew Broderick.
And yes, I could see Downey. I could see Broderick. If you're saying
I don't know.
No, he's too cool. You know what I mean? He's too much of a cool guy.
You needed a pencil pushing nerd looking type.
Downey was in. I don't know if you ever seen U.S. Marshals.
I think I might have actually seen it. Yeah,
it's Tommy Lee Jones. It's the sequel to The Fugitive. Tommy Lee Jones and his team of U.S. Marshals are chasing Wesley Snipes, but Downey is in it, and he kind of plays a little. Similar to Cusack. Not as good.
Was this before or after this movie?
I think it's after. I think it's 98, maybe, you know. Good movie.
Now, I was going to say, I don't know how they get this list, because they have the people who are considered for the part of Cameron Poe, so Nicolas Cage's character. And it's just everyone. I wonder if they say they were considered, but like they had no chance of getting.
I'd say this was one of the hot scripts around. I'd say so. Like
Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Brad Pitt, Keanu Reeves, Kurt Russell, Schwarzenegger, Seagal, Stallone, Van Damme, and Bruce Willis and William Baldwin were all considered.
Okay, of that list, you would cross Cruise off. You would cross
Johnny Depp. Yes or no?
I'd say he probably would stay on it. I could see Johnny Depp.
Dolph Lundgren.
No, too old. He's too old. Cruise is too big of a star. Brad Stallone Pitt. And Schwarzenegger, too old. Pitt was kind of moving away from this kind of stuff. I couldn't see him in that. No. Who was the other people you mentioned?
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, definitely.
Kurt Russell, I think he said.
He's a bit too old as well, though.
Schwarzenegger.
Far too old.
Seagal. Like, they're all old.
No.
It's an old.
Yeah, he's too old as well. Like, you know,
Stallone, Van Damme, Willis. Bruce Willis could have done it.
No, he's a bit too old as well. Like.
They're all old. They're as old as Nicolas Cage.
No, Cage plays younger, though. Like.
Does he, though?
Yeah, definitely. Like, how old do you think Cameron Poe is in this? Like,
47.
No, like.
No, like 30.
39.
30, yeah, fine.
Yeah, you know, 38, 39. Like, Bruce Willis is.
Bruce Willis could have played 39 in 96.
Fuck off.
In 96. You're telling me he didn't look 39 in Die Hard with a Vengeance?
He looked in his 40s.
No, he did. If Nicolas Cage isn't 40 in Con Air,
I might be doing Nicolas Cage a disservice saying he's 39. Probably like 37.
I was going to say 35.
Yeah, maybe like. But, I mean, I look like Nicolas Cage does in this movie.
No, he's all wrinkled up and all.
He is shredded to fuck, man. What are you talking about?
It's funny, whenever. Like, was Faye watching this with you out of interest?
Yeah.
Like Kerry just couldn't get over how weird Nicolas Cage looks. Yeah. Like he just looks like, even when he's standing there all muscular, like it doesn't even look like a human body. Like, it just looks...
the hair, everything. Yeah. Like it's good. It's good.
Last bit of fact here. So John Cusack allegedly dislikes this film so much that he refuses to be interviewed about it, which doesn't surprise me at all. I'd say he's a massive prick. Nicolas Cage travelled to Alabama to perfect his accent. How funny is that?
First of all, I'm going to tell you, I love Nicolas Cage. I love everything about his methodology in acting. I love that, like, he thinks that that's a perfect Alabama accent. You know what I mean?
Like he goes to Alabama to perfect it, in his words.
There's something so earnest about him. He's always trying. You know what I mean? Mm. Even if he's doing pieces of shit. Like, I know he's got a lot of tax problems. That's why he makes so many movies.
Oh, really?
That's why he makes, like... Because apparently, like, he spends so much money. So he, like...
Well, continuously has tax problems.
Yeah.
He just gets himself into... He just knows. And he just does it anyway.
Like, he has, like, a giant, like, T-Rex skull in his house.
Oh, my God. Not even surprised.
But amazing. Like, yeah, I don't know, I just have such a soft spot for him, even though he can be terrible.
Yeah,
but there's something so earnest about him, whereas
he does try,
whereas with other people I have less capacity to be like, I'd be like, oh, fuck off, like, you know.
There's something about him that's just
something endearing about him, I think. Like,
last two things to do with music. Kid Rock's American Badass is based on Cameron Poe, apparently. So, whatever about that. Last one, the song I know, right? How Do I Live was nominated for both an Oscar as Best Original Song and a Razzie as Worst Original Song. It won neither.
That was a four, so that was a big fucking hit. That I always put that and Aerosmith in like the same bracket of like movie songs that were like number one.
It was huge.
Fucking, yeah. Like,
it's a bit harsh to be putting the Razzies, to be honest.
Yeah, Razzies are a fucking joke, man.
They are, aren't they?
They're a joke. They're bollocks.
I
mean,
I shouldn't even be giving them the credibility of saying, I can't believe the Razzies made that decision. That's a reputable place, a reputable company or whatever they are, is the Razzies. Anyway, Terry, enough about all that.
Enough foreplay, Cantwell.
Let's get into full
penetration. Okay. We're on the Patreon.
Penetration.
So, my first note is, hummingbird is the first word Cameron Poe says. His accent. Hummingbird.
Hummingbird. His accent, if I may say, is awful.
It's terrible. But it's like, awful. Yeah.
It's like half British, half Southern.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's all over the place. Like,
particularly when he's reading out the letters as well. But we'll probably get to that. But when he's writing his daughter back and forth and all that, like, oh my God. What else you got?
Like, I forgot how quickly they get you in with the fight.
Yeah. Like, it's your man, he's like, oh, I'm a regular hound dog. Like, classic bad guy talk.
Like, what's my next one here?
Can't read your own hand right now.
No, I can't. Like,
put your glasses on.
No, it's when he's getting sentenced. He's like, you are a trained officer. A deadly weapon, not subject to the same laws that, as regular people.
That felt like bollocks.
Yeah, of course it was. Like,
yeah, like that felt like bad movie development. That one did.
And like the letter montage is wild.
Like, what were he's back and forth with his daughter?
He's like, he's writing the letters like, dear daddy.
Yeah.
And like, dear Casey.
Dear Casey. Like, dear daddy, are you ever coming home?
Yeah.
Dear Casey, of course I'm coming home.
I miss you. And in the background, it's like flaming barrels like in this prison. Like,
well, plus, one thing that I noticed is when he came back from war, so this is, he's in prison now, but just at the very start before this, he comes back and gets in the fight that gets sent in there. But like, when he comes back to the bar, like, she's pregnant, but like, he mustn't have been gone that long because, like, she doesn't even have a bump and he's down, like, you know, talking to it and all, like,
what, don't worry was he about gone it.
A month and a half? Like,
don't worry about it. It's
okay.
Fine. It could have been gone 6 months. Some women don't show. You know?
Okay, fair dues.
I have Cage is shredded in this.
He is shredded. Yeah. Can I ask what you thought? Well, we kind of discussed it, but of the How Do I Live song. Because when it came on, I was like, this is actually a great song. I don't care. I don't care.
Don't really care for it, to be honest.
Really?
No. Not for me.
Okay. Well.
I did notice that there was lots of Spanish guitar in this already.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
You know, just that, like, do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do. I didn't pick up on that at all.
Loads of it. And we're like 5 minutes into the movie.
Brilliant.
And then my next note is, the Jailbird is the name of the plane.
Now, can I ask you a question? Why is this plane taking all these criminals at the same time? Like, where is it going?
It's stupid. Where's the plane?
I don't know if I even ever acknowledged why they're on the plane. Like, where is it going? Why are they being, are they going to a different prison?
I think so. I think they're like, it's transporting them all to be sentenced or whatever. I'm sure they explain it, but like, with like, it's like a one line explanation. They don't go into the detail of it.
I feel like they should have given a couple of lines to that.
It's Cusack's project is what it is.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
It's his pet project.
That's why he's so invested. Because that's what I was asking halfway through. I was saying to Kara, like, why is he going through all this? Like, why does he care? Why is he getting blown to bits and all this?
It's his pet thing.
It's his baby.
Colm Meaney. Hell yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
And it's a classic. It gave me like Ben Affleck in Dazed and Confused vibes where he's pulling up in the car and he's like, he's a real piece of work or whatever it is. Yeah. Like, so fun. How did he, what's he doing here? What's he doing in this movie?
Like, he was on Star Trek at the time.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like known in America.
So weird.
Yeah.
And it's like Colm Meaney got to come in and write his own dialogue, but just do it in an American accent. Because it's very Colm Meaney. Even the words he says, they're like Irish delivery, but in an American accent, yeah, you know?
There's a bit where he's saying something how, like, they were, his men were, I don't know if it's destroyed or something, but it's like proper like dub twang. Yeah. Murdered, that's what it is. They were murdered.
They were murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. Cusack in a giant suit. It is too big for him.
It is, but that's the 90s style, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so one of the notes I had was just Colm Meaney where he's like talking about the car. He's like, this is fucking spectacular. He's talking about his car. I'm like, sorry, that's an American accent. I feel like John Cusack doesn't fit in this movie at all. I don't know what he's doing here. And I guess they were planning for a nerdy, bookwormish type of character. I don't even know if that's what they're going for, but like, because they were considering Matthew Broderick and a few other similar people.
I think more of a Boy Scout type thing, you know, where it's like he's the young, fresh-faced guy.
Yeah.
You know?
It seems like John Cusack would hate this movie.
I mean, he said he thinks he's only made 10 good movies in his career.
Is he a prick?
I think he's just a bit, like, very critical of himself, like, you know?
Right. I get the impression that he'd be rude to people.
I think he just doesn't have time for...
Right.
You know...
If I was a famous actor, I'd probably be the same, to be honest.
I would be the opposite.
You'd be like, hi, of course.
Yeah. What's the name?
Stay in school, honey.
Yeah.
I
love the lineup of the super criminals that they give you here.
I love the reveal, yeah.
It's like...
They all get their moment.
Diamond Dog... is blowing up the NRA. Is like, is that a terrible idea? You know?
Yeah.
Like, Cyrus, the virus, the theme.
Yeah.
Dern.
I think John Malkovich is a great...
genius casting of Malkovich.
Yeah,
here.
It is, isn't it? That's kind of what makes it as well. I feel almost more so than Nicolas Cage, John Malkovich is what gives this movie the sort of tone or the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, it's weird that, like, Cage is the star, but, like, he's not nowhere near the best thing about it, like, you know what I mean?
Like, it's like what we were saying, that, like, the lead doesn't get to do as much acting as the fourth lead.
Malkovich really gets to, like, sink his teeth into this.
Yeah, I'd say Malkovich had so much more fun playing this than Nicolas Cage did.
I have the head guard is quite the asshole. It's great. You know, the guy who's like, he's taking the
tash.
Yeah, Dennis Farina's other cousin.
I know. I actually know what you're talking about.
Yeah. He's great. But he's so good. And he's like, well, I'll just take that here.
I would have liked to see more of him. That was my only critique on that guy.
Yeah, but he served this purpose, because at one point he says something and he's like, bag this motherfucker.
You know,
he's being real polite, smiling to his face. Somebody spits on him or something like that.
Gag him, gag him, and bag him. It was something like that. But the scene where we'll cover it if you want, but just that guard in particular, when he comes running out to break up the melee or whatever, very badly edited scene, if I may say, because it was like he's opening the sort of mesh gate to come out, and like he's opening it, and then the next scene he's like getting stabbed by someone. I'm like, oh, I guess that's just him. Like that
he doesn't get stabbed.
Does what?
No, he doesn't get stabbed.
What happens to him then?
He gets put on the bus.
But you don't even see what happens. He just comes running, and then the next scene was just a cop or a guard or whatever getting...
He doesn't get... Because he's the guy that, like...
Oh, okay, well,
he gets the tape put on the bus with him.
Yeah, know? No, I knew he wasn't killed now, but yeah. I've completely messed that one up then.
Dave Chappelle is pretty good so far, I have, as a note.
He is. He's pretty good.
Yeah, like, he's threading the needle quite nicely for me.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Good way of putting it.
The cockroach, when he's talking about the racist, he's like, rapists are somewhere between cockroaches and that white stuff you get at the corner of your mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're really thirsty. And I was like, that's a fucking good line. Like,
yeah.
It's good writing.
It's like, I despise rapists.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. For you, I'll make an exception.
Yeah.
Chappelle lighting the guy on fire is fucking deadly.
That is great, actually, yeah.
He's like, what? And it's like, and it's just like the fact that it's like a match and like
yeah.
lighter fluid.
It's so simple. Like, yeah, but it's
brilliant, though.
Yeah, it's great. And what a distraction. I must say that DEA agent, Colin Meaney, first of all, Colin Meaney, he's like, I'll do it. Like, he just pats him down, puts a gun in his sock.
Gives him the gun.
Like, little wink. Worst DEA agent of all time. Like, who is this guy?
Like, the prison break I thought was done quite well when all that shit starts happening. I know you're saying you weren't a fan, but I thought...
Well, that's only because I thought that was what happened to the guard, but now that I've mugged myself off on the pod, I can appreciate it a bit more now.
And I have, like, Trejo is like a shark or something. You know, like, he's just yeah. like...
Now, one thing I have, like, because I made some notes too, and my next note is, was a big revelation in this movie that I didn't cop before, and that is the dialogue in this movie is, and I have in all caps, trash. I think obviously barring John Malkovich.
I was going to say, my next note is some excellent one-liners here from Malkovich.
Barring John Malkovich, because he's allowed to be sort of John Malkovich, but oh my God, there were so many moments in it where I'm just like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
I get it. Like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? It's that kind of movie, and not unapologetically. You know what I mean? But anyway,
you're saying the worst DEA agent. I did like the standoff where he's like, I think he's like pinball.
Yeah,
and he has like, you know, has the gun to his head, or he's gonna kill him. He's like, you think I care about that crackhead?
Yeah. he points the gun at is Cyrus, and Cyrus has time to like run away, hide under the thing, get his own gun, and come back. Like, your man's like, I made it.
It's like just a second.
Be more assertive.
Yeah.
You little shit! You got my agent killed.
Yeah, but then the new inmates, the swap over on the inmates, is pretty good. Like when they're having to touch down. And it's like you get like Steve Buscemi and a new like murderous row of actors coming in.
I love, and I always loved, excuse me, the level of protection that they give themselves against Steve Buscemi's character. And it's like he never shows any sign throughout the movie of being in any way aggressive. That's what makes his character so good, is that like you don't see it at all.
Like the fact that they're like, that's Garland Green.
Yeah.
You know, like...
And even like the big muscular guys, when he's like untying him, he's all nervous. Like, what's he actually going to do? Like, someone twice his size.
And then like, it's weird that like, the next scene is like the jail cell scene. Or maybe it's not, but like, I just have that in my notes where it's like, John Cusack and the guys are like the Last Supper, me car. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah, like.
What do you think of that scene?
A bit of a stretch, to be honest. Like,
it was kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, it really was. Like, I didn't need it there.
Yeah.
But I love the guy, like, because the good touch of like Cage kind of putting the tape recorder in with your man.
Yeah.
And then, and like, we didn't really talk about like Baby O or anything like that yet. That, you know, Bubba Gump himself.
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing with the diabetes, I thought was quite good, and how Cage can't leave.
Apparently, your man who played Bubba,
Michael T. Will.
Yes.
What's the surname?
An itch there, pal?
I do. It's fucking driving me crazy.
I can hear scratching off.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Apparently, Dave Chappelle was considered or auditioned for the role of Bubba in Forrest Gump, and weirdly, they're both in this movie.
That would have been mad.
Imagine.
Yeah, like.
Like, shit. It's like fried shrimp. I'm not going to do it. I just couldn't picture it.
The guard that is killed in the sandstorm as well. I have like, almost ready. Yeah. That guy.
Like, he knows. He knows that he's up, that they're bad guys. And he's still up the like charade of like, all good or whatever he's saying.
He has his gun. I think he's like getting ready to pull it on him. Yeah,
it's like a classic 90s bad guy move of the walking with intent with your arms behind your back.
Yeah.
And he's just pretending like all's good. I love that.
I love when they cut to Meany and Cusack and just like the level of shouting between each other.
Yeah.
You know?
This is a situation that needs to get unfucked right now. Oh, Colin Meany brings me so much joy in this movie.
Yeah, he's great. We already said, like, everybody being afraid of Buscemi is good.
I love the fact that your man, as well, I don't know which guy it is, Ving Rhames, when he's talking to Nicolas Cage, why does he come up and tell him, he's like, I'll play nice, and then the day of the dog begins. Why is he telling this guy?
Because Nicolas Cage is like getting in his head where he's like, oh, what's a militant leader like right. you doing, taking orders from a little white boy? Like, sass.
Brilliant. Yeah. His pride is hurt so much that he has to actually tell him his plan.
I'm enjoying this film too much to take notes. There's a big stretch like here.
Well, see, I have here right as well, and I hope you'll forgive me, because I know that we're really focusing on your notes here, but I just have a couple. But I love how Colm Meany looks away in disgust whenever John Cusack gets all like grandiose, where he's like, camera pro doesn't get off. Why? And all this, and Meany's like looking to the other guy like, fuck. Like, it's like an Irishman in the room. Like.
Fucking larking. The scene with Pinball's dead body falling out of the plane, like he got caught in the wheel.
That's not Pinball. I mean, I know it is in the movie, but it looked nothing like him.
Well, he was crushed by the plane.
That was clearly like a prosthetic or something.
Yeah, of course it was. Yeah. I
don't think it was very likely.
I don't know why. I find it really funny where it's like the body falling, it's like the bird poo on the like, it's very 90s, but I still just find it really effective. Yeah. Like a 5-car pile up, he steals the car. Cusack steals the car as kicker.
Brilliant.
He's hauling as, you might
Hello.
Say.
Hello. Yeah. And he's in the car, he's on the phone, he's like, Larkin, how do you think I got the number?
Yeah. Trying to get there. I did like, actually, when Buscemi starts talking, everybody's like, oh. Like, they're afraid. Like, what was that? Like, as in, like, oh, Jesus.
He's actually talking.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of, first of all, sorry, he has the whole scene with your man, Willem Dafoe. Like, put the bunny back in the box.
I found that fighting really stiff. Interesting. No, but it was really interesting because they're down a low level, so it's like
they have to crouch down.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a really interesting way to fight. You never see another fight scene like that.
That's
like,
true, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
That was the big scene of the like the ad or whatever. Why couldn't you put put the bunny back in the box?
Yeah. But then he's like, why couldn't you just put the bunny back in the box?
Kills him fairly quick. And then when he's talking about, like, see, Buscemi is like, Two went down, one came up.
Shut up, Garland.
But this is, I had this as an example of writing that could have been better, where he's like, he's talking about the girl.
What's my fault?
Yeah, he's like, what's my fault? And then he's talking about, war the girl's head through three states or whatever. And he's like, it's my daughter's birthday, so please feel free not to share everything with me.
Like, I love that. I feel like
they could have used a better line than, so please feel free, to shut the fuck up or not to share everything with me. I don't know why. I
love that. I thought it was great. Cause my next note is Buscemi is fucking deadly.
He is deadly. I'll say that.
Lerner Airfield is like a plain graveyard is my next note,
They deliberately wanted it, I think, to be mimic Mars, they said in the production notes. Of like very dusty and all that sort of stuff.
Baby O and his damn diabetes. It's a nice little fetch quest for Poe,
And was this after, before or after, where he's talking about
the barbecue?
Yeah, the famous line. Just for a backstory, I hadn't seen this movie in a while, and I think one of the hardest you've made me laugh in memory was you mentioned something, you used that reference.
I had come down to your house, I think is what it was, and it had been on like RTE as I was like waiting. I think I was to pop down to you for like 9 o'clock or something, and it was on at like 8. So I had been watching it before I went down to your house. And I was saying, oh, Jesus, fucking Con Air was on. I hadn't seen it in years. And I was just pissing myself laughing.
Look, like, Cyrus, this is your barbecue.
It tastes good.
And he's just like, we still use that like to this day. Not really in any context, just to tend to say it.
Then nothing would do make me feel better than putting a bullet
in one of these pigs' heads. Like, he's clearly... He clearly can't be trusted by the criminals. Like, I mean, he's pretending like he's kind of like, who's buying that? Like, I just think that we should maybe let some of the hostages go. Like, it's that sort of like vibe of like, it's too transparent.
He's making sense in what he's saying though. Like,
yeah, but they're crazy. They should sniff out the rat.
Buscemi and the little girl scenes are suitably unsettling.
Very unsettling. And where is she? And where's her parents? It's like you see she's at a caravan park, or there's two caravans. But she's playing in some like dirt filled abandoned pool.
It's an empty pool. I was like, is this like a fucking nuclear testing site or something like that?
Yeah. Imagine that's your house. Like, if anything, she was more terrifying than Steve Buscemi was. Yeah. She was that like, who the fuck is this?
when they get to the plane, and one thing I always forget is that like the reason why the whole thing happens is that they've been hired, the criminals have been hired by another criminal.
Oh yeah,
to get him out, and that's the whole thing. It's like he has another plane waiting for everybody. Turns out it's just a small plane that'll only carry get him away.
And is he on the flight?
He's on. When they pick up, Garland Green and the pilot and stuff like that, like, and the have the trans character.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go on.
I have ahead of its time? Question mark.
Yes.
No is the answer.
But hold on, look. But come back to this though. What's the story with the?
So he gets on the plane.
Who does though?
The Mexican guy.
Which guy? Which guy are we talking about?
The guy who ends up getting blown up now in a second. Sai or Nara.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
He's the guy that has hired Cyrus and all these to break
him
out.
Oh, it was him they were talking about that whole time. I was like, who is this guy that they're talking about?
When Poe finds his plane... I was like just saying, his high kicks, his very high kicks.
Very high.
Yeah.
He's in shape. I'll give him that.
Some of the exercises he's doing at the start.
They're no joke.
Yeah. Like, lifting his whole body weight with his two hands or whatever. Yeah. Like fucking hell. Like,
I love how they quickly brush over his stint of 10 years or 7 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Of just him writing and sleeping. And then like there's like it's like a minute montage and then 10 years are up.
I did like the scene with Cusack and Cage. Where he's like, sorry, boss, I only trust two people and you ain't one of them. Yeah, like, one of them's me and you ain't the other one.
I love the aesthetic of Lerner Airfield. I love how desolate it is. But the whole thing was, how many times in this movie does John Cusack like peer around a corner or open a door and there's something bounding towards him at the last second? Like, well, I feel like that happened at least three occasions to him.
He's the one that actually like stops the plane from taking off. Like, he runs, jumps into the crane, like cuts the plane in half, and then when they're doing the whole thing in the boneyard, he's like driving the, I don't know, it's a digger of some sort, and he's like, Jesus Christ!
Like, I just have a note here of John Cusack is having the time of his life.
Yeah.
You know, like his character, Larkin, is having the time of his life.
Like, I have my note here, like, Cusack in his bulldozer, like, whoa! I have a note here, nice big explosions in the boneyard. I like these explosions. I think it was when they were like shooting the like grenades at the gas canisters.
Oh yeah.
And then I do like how it feels like a battlefield. Like, it feels like there's a war going on in this small area, you know?
And the whole thing of like, Cyrus says to the dog, he's like, how would he, like, he's looking through, they're both looking through binoculars, and Cyrus is like, how long till they get here? He's like, 10 minutes. Like how would he know?
That,
like, he's just
thing.
Another criminal as well. You're both standing there looking. How long do you think? Like, I don't fucking know.
But that whole thing of, like, and it's like they're on a ship or something where it's like, move, like pulling the plane out of the airfield, like, you know? The car, the Az kicker getting hooked up to the plane was a lovely touch.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact that even though it flies away, it somehow lands right in front of them. When he sees his license plate. I love that.
I do like the Lynyrd Skynyrd line when they're all like dancing to Sweet Home Alabama, and like Buscemi delivers it perfectly, where it's like
the irony.
Yeah.
Dancing to a whatever by a band killed in a plane crash.
Yeah.
It's not a good Steve Buscemi impression.
I have to say, he's fucking, like, compared to Armageddon, which is 2 years later or whatever, like, his performance in this is so much better.
It's
unreal.
True.
Unreal performance. Like
you would say it's a genuinely good performance in this.
I think he's in Fargo as well this year in 96, and like two of those performances are two amazing performances, I think.
Yeah.
I have Cage getting shot.
I think that's my favourite scene in the movie.
When he gets shot and he doesn't break stride.
Yeah, he doesn't flinch. I love that.
I hate it.
Oh, I loved it. I thought that was fucking brilliant.
And then he does the bitch slap as well to the trans character. They should definitely blow that plane out of the sky, is what my next note is, when they're over the Grand Canyon. Like,
yeah, and then like he eventually agrees not to do it because Cameron Poe has, and that's another thing, this whole pilot issue, like, so they get the criminal pilot at that crossover or whatever,
MC Gainey,
but like even before that, where Malkovich says to the normal pilot, it's like, tell them everything's fine, and then, like, as soon as he says that, he goes back out the door to be like, attention, everyone, or whatever like that. Like, there's the pilot's opportunity to be like, we have an emergency here. We have an emergency. Like, he left the cockpit. He's just like, tell him everything's fine. He doesn't even wait to hear him do it. He's just like, now I trust you, and welcome to Con Air, everyone. So that, I had a bit of an issue with that. All right. But anyway.
Buscemi is a delight. I love him in the crash scene where he's just like, he's got the whole world. Like,
there's some part in that crash race. They're all gone mad. And he's like, itty bitty baby. I don't know what he's saying. It's like, what's he doing?
Baby O got shot.
Yeah.
He got shot for taking the heat, where he's like, he was planning to be Cameron Poe. He's like, no, that you're stupid or whatever. Something like that. Losing like Cusack. Like... Yeah. I do like Cusack as well, reading out the note. He's like, my daddy is coming home on July 14th.
You mean Malkovich?
Oh, Malkovich, sorry. Yeah. My birthday is July 14th.
Someone else's birthday is on that day.
I was just thinking that. I have that in my notes.
I think they said that was a deliberate date because it coincided with like breaking free from the Bastille. So they crash in Vegas, and then I kind of forgot that there's this whole other fire truck scene. I don't know if you've more before that.
No, I have the last scene is like one too many. Same problem a lot of these films
it's
are having.
It's kind of like with True Lies where it ended great with that bridge chase, and then they have this plane in the city scene.
At least with this one, it's only like 10 minutes. True Lies was another fucking 25 minutes or something. Yeah.
To an extent, I'd say on the boat with Die Hard with a Vengeance was way too long.
And with Speed as well. It's kind of
the train.
Interesting. It's a problem that they have. They seem to like want to cap it each time. Right through the Achilles tendon I have. So I think that is... Ouch. That's Diamond Dog. Maybe it was Malkovich that got it through the Achilles tendon.
Oh, yeah.
When
he's hanging on to the ladder.
The flooding is a horrible death. How they kill the pilot.
Does he die from the flooding?
I think Cusack puts the fire hose in.
I do love the visuals of that, filling up the front of the fire truck with water. Oh, does he drown in it or something?
Yeah, he drowns. Does and he? Then,
I didn't pick up on that.
And then Malkovich ends up on the... when they crash.
In the world does John Malkovich end up... First of all, from a crashed plane in Vegas, hops on a fire truck. And first of all, him on the top of the fire truck where he's looking around, where you just see him where he's like this. Like, where's he going?
The tree.
And then he ends up to some, industrial place that has this, what would you even call it? What's the name of that thing?
It looks like it was like a piston. Mint. Yeah, but it looks like it was something for making coins or something like that. Something weird.
What are the chances of his head landing within that little foot diameter?
But I love how fucked he is that he can't actually move. So it's he's limp and then it crushes his head.
Yeah. I like his body kind of go. I have, first of all, I have a few issues with the super schmaltzy ending some parts that I liked. I had an issue with the fact that John Cusack and Colm Meaney are all
I had in my notes. I want to see
it. Like, sorry about your car. I was going to get it changed anyway.
I want to see a buddy cop series with those two characters.
I guess everything's wrapped up in a neat little package.
That's in my notes. I want that. I want him to get a different bunny. He still picks the same fucking bunny.
You'd like that though.
No.
It'd be good to have when you're
my dad.
In 10 years' time. Yeah, this is when my dad brought.
Dad blew up half of Las Vegas.
After he went to prison for murder.
He's a complicated guy.
But look at this bunny you got me. It's filthy.
It's filthy. Look how filthy it is. I do like how she's terrified of him as well.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's good touch.
Now, I'll admit something. Now, I didn't well up because it's Con Air, but I didn't expect for the feeling to be, because it was very where she's standoffish.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, it's okay. Then all of a sudden she just goes and gives him a hug. And the look he gives his wife, I'm like, oh. I don't know if it's just the fact that I'm being the father of a girl. That
compare it to that piece of shit in Armageddon when it's like, that's your daddy. And then like he runs to the guy like, give me a fucking break. Like,
yeah, that was bollocks.
They did the work in this movie because the whole through line is like he didn't want his daughter to come see him in prison for the first time. Right? Like
yes.
Like, you know, they did the work.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So I quite like that, I will say. And I like How Do I Live. There, I said it. I don't care. My last note was just, would she not be like, oh, you didn't cut your hair and all that time. What are you thinking?
I have a note here that says, I like the end credits to show style. And I think that means that, like, didn't they have, like, a picture of each person being, like...
Yeah, like, in a little, like... It was almost like an outtake, but you don't hear what's going on. You just see them smiling a lot. I like that.
I like that.
That was very feel good.
And then my last point is, are we supposed to be happy convicted serial killer Steve Buscemi is free to roam the streets?
That's the thing. It's like, we're cheering for him by the end. He's like, yeah, he's free.
Are we? Like, you know?
I remember as a kid being like, oh, great. Like, he's the best one. I'm glad he got out. Like, forgetting that he's the worst by far.
He's like, you know, wearing people's faces as hats or something. Like,
but you can't not feel good when you have Lynyrd Skynyrd, him and Steve Buscemi in a casino.
Yeah.
And that being the final scene of the movie. Like, it's just going to leave you with a good feeling.
Yes, indeed.
Well, speaking of, Terry, can I ask you what you thought overall?
I had a fucking blast with this movie. Still as good as it ever was. I just was enjoying it all the time. I always have a good time with it. Even though it's ridiculous, it's ridiculous, but it's good. It is good.
Can I ask where it would feature?
It's tough. It's a tough one.
I can't remember my order at all, to be honest. But
I think I've got it. I'm going to put this in at number 2.
Ooh. Number 2. So, number 1 was...
Speed.
Con Air.
Die Hard.
Yes.
Broken Arrow. True Lies. Armageddon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
Of course. You had Speed as your number 1.
Yeah.
Depending on where you're going to put Con Air, I guess.
I had Speed as number 1. I think I had True Lies number 2.
Yeah.
I had
Die Hard 3, Armageddon 4, Broken Arrow 5.
I would put this ahead of Armageddon, so I'd put this at 4.
Oof, wow.
So I'd put Die Hard with a Vengeance and True Lies above it.
We are very different people. Because this was close to being my top, to be honest.
You know what it is, though? Like, and I was thinking a lot about this, because I was like, it didn't land a lot for me this time. Now, maybe I didn't go in, although I had one of those gummies. But anyway, I went in, you know, X-ray just expecting.
X-ray on the gay.
That's even worse. but, you know, like, it was deadly. Like, when I look at it through my eyes as a kid or whenever I saw it, like, I remember all the bits that were supposed to make me laugh, that did make me laugh. And I remember all the bits that made me cheer when they were supposed to. Just because I didn't do it this time, like, does that mean that it's the movie's fault? Because it did land on me
It's
before.
Your fault, mate. It's
yeah,
your
I think
fault.
It is. Like, because the movie worked on a version
I
of
think,
me before.
I think it still works. I think it still is fucking awesome. Like,
if you don't take it, it was the dialogue for me, like, outside of the main guys, was a bit...
Like, to be honest,
hard.
Though, like, if you're doing a one sentence sign up or like sell me this, it's like a bunch of criminals on a plane,
yes,
hijack it,
yeah,
immediately you know what you're getting when you're going in there,
yes.
Whereas, say, True Lies is like Arnold Schwarzenegger is super spy,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, this could be serious, and it was all over the place, like,
well,
whereas this one I knew what I was getting when I was coming in, you know what I mean?
But that's the thing, though, like, If you saw this just on TV tomorrow and you'd never seen it before, Would you still feel that way?
I think I would, yeah. I think I'd
but
be like...
But would you, though?
Yeah, because you've got good actors who are chewing up the scenery. Mm. And it's just like an enjoyable premise.
I think... I have a feeling that you might be underestimating the importance of the sentimentality of it, of seeing it. I was only chatting about this with someone the other day about something else, of like... Just for the fact... Don't worry about it.
Who are you talking to?
I know people. I have other friends. Of like, you know, certain things that we'd love as a kid, but then you'd have an exact similar sort of thing now and I just wouldn't entertain it. But I remember how I felt as a kid watching it, so... You know, those things are held in higher regard now. It's like when I go back and watch, say, Die Hard 1. I watched it only a couple of years ago. And, like, it was good. I liked it. But I didn't grow up with it, so I don't have the same attachment to it. You know what I mean?
So next time you watch it, you're going to be like, fucking hell, this is a masterpiece.
Touché.
Top five movies of all time.
Look, I'm not going to say it wasn't deadly, because it was deadly. But it didn't scratch my itch exactly where I thought it would.
Sounds
a bit more perverse than I meant for it to. But
okay, well, can you tell me what we have on the assignment sheet next?
Today we celebrate our Independence Day.
Oh boy.
You didn't think I was going to go a full series without having Will Smith involved, did you?
Bad Boys.
Jeff Goldblum. Bill Pullman.
Fucking Casper. Jurassic Park. Like, any of those, as opposed to this fucking shite.
The day we celebrate
David.
And him. great stuff.
Well, look, I'll give it the old college try again.
Great.
I will tell you right now, I'm not a huge fan of Roland Emmerich. So.
Who's that?
The director?
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I would have known that in 2 weeks' time. Now, because you mentioned a few there that I wouldn't mind looking at. I've only got two left, you see. I know what my last one's going to be. And I was...
Look, if you want to change it...
Do I have time to consider it?
Of course.
You've made me doubt myself now.
You have till Friday.
Okay. Well...
Friday at 5 p.m. Close of business Friday.
5 a.m. Friday.
That's what time I get up at.
It's possibly Independence Day. If you're hearing this and you are all for Independence Day, let me know. But I'm considering... It was a toss-up between one of three, to be honest, and Independence Day. To be honest, a lot of it was throwing Kerry a bone because she's had to sit through a lot of these and she loves Independence Day. But Jurassic Park might also be one. Bad Boys, of course. Oh, there's just so many, though.
Like, if you were to say to me of those three, I would say probably not Jurassic Park, because I don't think it's action.
Yeah, see, that was my defense when she was saying it the last time. I was like, no, I need a star. I need an action star in it, like, you know, but a hero.
I mean, look, you're the one. This is your barbecue, Gandhi, and it tastes good. But, you know, I think something like Bad Boys or... What was the other one you mentioned?
I'll think about it.
What was the other one you mentioned?
Jurassic Park or Independence Day.
Yeah, I think Bad Boys and Independence Day are way more in what you've been going with
so far.
You know?
I'll think about it.
Jurassic Park is the best one of the lot, but like...
Yeah. It's not what we're doing here, though.
Yeah.
Independence Day pending, so we'll see. But it'll be a good one, whatever it is. I'm trying to pick stuff that's on Star as well, to be honest, to make it easy for myself and you, the viewer.
They're both on Star?
Are they?
I think Bad Boys is on Netflix anyway, definitely.
Oh, okay, good.
I hovered over it there the other day.
It was a fun movie and it was fun to record and fun to chat about. Thank you very much for those for all of us who support the pod, and thanks to all the new patrons, and thanks
even
so much for
the
support.
Even though they never listened to the show, but you know.
I mean all of us. Okay,
all right. Well, thank you so much for your support, everybody, and
we love you.
Yeah, I mean, goodbye. I like you.
I love you.